In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are studying the Gospel of St. John, and we will start chapter 9. But I want to remind you with the revelations happened in the last 8 chapters. The first chapter was about the Logos. The Logos became man in order to be seen by men and to save humanity. The second chapter started by the wedding of Cana in Galilee, which was the first miracle in which the people could see that Christ is Jesus, the Messiah. Chapter 3 was the dialogue with Nicodemus about the new birth or the new creation given by the baptism. People should be baptized in order to be born again from heaven, to be children of God, and that's very much related to the redemption on the cross. Chapter 4 was the dialogue with the Samaritan woman and the start of the Lord's speech about the holy living water and the new life given by repentance. Chapter 5 was about the miracle of the lame, the crippled man who stayed 38 years beside the water, but because he lacked the grace of God, God came to him to give him new power, new life, and he started to witness to the Lord. Chapter 6, it was about the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Then he started to speak about the Eucharist, and he made it this way that people should eat his holy body and holy blood in order to live forever, because his life will be given in this sacrament of Eucharist. Chapter 7, about the Holy Spirit given to the people like the water, the living water, and this will be the gift of the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, Christ saved the adulterous woman because the accusers were about to stone her because she was caught in the very act of adultery, and he made himself like a lawyer and he defended her, and then he showed himself at the true light. And also, he spoke about his relationship with God the Father. They need to believe in him in order to be saved. And he accused them to be the children of devil, following the lies given by devil. And by this, they end up by trying to stone him. Now, starting chapter 9 and the famous story of the born blind man. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You know, the question helps us to understand the mind of the Jew people, because they always love to blame someone. They always relate all things happening to the sin. And they believe that any problem in life, any sickness in life, should be related to some sin. So being born blind, they had a big question, whether he had done bad things, but that's not reasonable because he was not there. He was like in the womb of his mother, so how could they accuse him of sin? Doing any sin. Or they accused the parents of having a bad life, so God punished them with a child who was born blind. So it's all about the idea of sin and sickness, sin and disease. So they had partially part of the truth that all problems in our life related to the original sin, that Adam and Eve started to break the commandment of God, so we were all separated from the grace of God, and with this separation, corruption entered in our nature, So we are suffering sicknesses, diseases, problems, sufferings, and death. So they think this way. But you know, when you relate every problem to a sin, that's not the wisdom of God. Because actually there are many innocent people who always suffer. Because the life on this time, on this land, should be full of suffering. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Does not mean that this man had never done any sin or his parents were always innocent. No, but it's not related to the problem now to be born blind. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So sometimes suffering, it's not good to ask question about why. It's about why, I mean, looking to the past, what's before suffering. Why don't you think of what's after suffering? Suffering may be the source of many gifts, the source of many blessings. So it's not necessarily the outcome of sins in a direct way, but definitely it will be the source of many good outcomes. So when you think this way, you can understand the will of God in a better way. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he's starting to again mention the relationship with the Father. He is completing the work started by creation. Christ created everything. God created everything with the Son, by the Son, by the Logos. And after creation, problem happened because of the will of man. Now Christ should care for the creatures, should go doing the will of God, working together with God the Father in order to help humanity to live in a better life. So he's doing the exact work, the exact will of the Father. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day, so the meaning of a day, while living on earth, while spending time here in this life, we should work the work of God. We should help people to live better. We should enlighten the minds to see the truth. So that's the meaning, it's day. Because one day, the end of the days, you will not have any more chance to do the work of God. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So, because he, the true light, is always there, but being in the flesh, now he is the source of all miracles, of all the power. But you know, people couldn't enjoy his presence enough because of their stony heart. They couldn't believe in him. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. In a strange way, in an unusual way, he just spat on the ground, making a clay, and he put them on the space of the eye, you know, because there were no eyes, no eyeballs. And that was not easy for anyone to accept that the clay on his face. But most probably because this man listened to the defense given by Christ defending him, because he said that it's not his sin or the sin of his parents behind this problem. This defense helped him to love this man, although he couldn't see him and he did not know him. But he accepted his order. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Why Christ made it this time this way? Simply because he was speaking about himself as the creator. God created everything in him, through him, by him. So he proved himself as the creator by creating new eyes for this born blind man. And also he made use of the clay to remind everyone that the one who created Adam from the clay, from this, the sand of the land, he is now creating the eyes for this man. But you know, this new creation has to have a role from the man himself. Because as the forefathers of the church said, God created you without your will, without your permission. But he cannot save you without your permission, without your will. So now there should be some part related to man. Man should do something in order to get this new creation. That's why he asked him, go and wash your eyes in Siloam. By this commandment, now the blind man had something to do in order to help himself to live the new life. That's exactly our Christian life. We need to accept the grace of God by doing some prayer, some work, some struggle against evil. Our part is, you know, to accept the part given by God, which is the grace of God. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam, you know, was very close to the temple. And Siloam was believed by many of the Jew people that the water in Siloam is like a holy water, because they had in one of their feasts, the Jews has had feasts, one of them, the Feast of the Tabernacle, they had a ritual that the high priest took water from the pool of Siloam and go in a celebration with the Levites and the priests, and they pour the water on the altar on a yearly basis. That was the eighth day of their feast. So people, you know, respected the pool of Siloam. Maybe that's another reason why this man, like, believed in the words of Christ, because he put his hope in Christ and in the water of Siloam. Again, the forefathers of the church, you know, helped us to understand the secret of the holy baptism. In the holy baptism, we are born again. We are recreated. We will have new eyes. We will see the truth in a new life. So this new creation happened in baptism. And in baptism, we need the holy water and the order of Christ. So the Holy Spirit working in the water will give us this new life. And also Siloam was, you know, in the translation of the exact word in the language, meaning sent. So it's about Christ, because he made it many times, I was sent by the Father in order to save people. And that was his mission in life. Christ is the Messiah meaning that the one came to save. He is the Savior and he came to save everyone. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? You know, having new eyes, his face looks different. So some of the people couldn't, you know, identify whether this is the man who used to sit here and begged, or maybe he is like a similar one. So the man had a chance to say, no, I was not, and he can start a new life, and he can, you know, just close the old days and started to be a good man before the eyes of everyone. But he never denied the truth. Yes, I was a blind man. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. I am he means here, I am the born blind. Yes, I am the common beggar of this place. So everyone knows me. I had a miracle. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus, made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, I received sight. So this simple man made the story as it happened exactly, and he told everyone, yes, I am the one, I had no eyes. Christ came and asked me to go and wash my eyes because he put the clay on my eyes. Yes, I went and I washed. Now I could see. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eye. Look to this. It's all with the problem of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was like a stumbling block before many of the Jews. They will forget all about the miracle and will focus only on the Sabbath day. Should he put the clay on his eyes on the Sabbath day? Should he order him to go and wash his face on the Sabbath day? So that's all the problem. They couldn't see how big was the problem, how great was the event happened. They always focused on the literal side of the commandment. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. So he is repeating the story happily because he could see now. So he feels like very much grateful to the one who opened his eyes. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. Full stop. So that's the sentence made by the Pharisees. This man should never be from God because he broke the Sabbath. Because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? So exactly like happening every day in all generations, that some people are very much eccentric. They couldn't see the good side of anything. They think in a very closed way. So they stick to one word and understand it their way. And they couldn't see the goodness in the situation. Others may be thinking freely. And they had questions. How come a sinner do this great miracle? So these reasonable people may catch the truth before others because they just viewed their minds. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. So people were not on the same page because some believed in Christ, like the one who had done the miracle. Others couldn't accept it just because he broke the Sabbath. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? Because they are not, you know, agreeing on one sentence or one idea about Christ. So they asked the blind man, what's your opinion in this? But he said he is a prophet. So according to his simple heart, he said it this way, he is definitely a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? You know, they invited his parents, I guess because they tried to deny the whole story. They tried to close this file. So they brought the parents in order to let them say, no, he was not born blind. No, there was no miracle. It's all a fake story. So they can just answer the people saying, forget about this. This was not a miracle or a sign. This is not true. So when they brought the parents were happy saying, yes, this man is our son, he was born blind. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So the parents were full of fear because everyone knew that if you witness to Christ as the Messiah, you will be dismissed from the synagogue, you will be pushed away. So they couldn't say more than this. Yes, this man is our son. Yes, he was born blind. We do not know anything after. We cannot explain this miracle. So they avoided the question, who is the one who gave him the sight? So they will go back to the blind, to the born blind, in order to inquire about the miracle, and we will see what this great man will say. Glory to God. Amen.